We're here on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. And we started the Sugya of Avram and Achai. And we're up to the statement of Rav Shizbi. Rav Shizbi, which you count up from the bottom, it should be about 12, 13 lines. He wants to come with a brisa, actually a mishnah, to support what we understood in the name of Rav, that with regard to Avram and Achai for Ben Noach, everybody agrees that the Isser Avram and Achai applies even to a behemoth mea, and therefore the distinction that the Chachamim make between a tahora, limiting the Isser of Avram and Achai to a behemoth tahora, that distinction applies only with regard to Yisrael, because with regard to Yisrael you could say that if it's Eino Shachut and it's alive without Shechita, the Shechita could have been meaningful to remove the Yisrael from an Achai, but since he didn't Shecht it and he took a limb off the animal alive without Shechting it, that applies to a Behemoth Tahora. So that distinction is meaningful according to for Yisrael, but as far as Ben Noach is concerned, that Eino Shachut, that concept of the absence of Shechita, is meaningless, and therefore there's no difference between Behemas Yisrael, between a Behema Kshera and a Behema Tmeya, and the Iser Eiv Menachai Kohen Chachamim. The Chacham would agree to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Laza that the Isa Eiv Menachai applies even to what? To Behema Tmeh. Afanan Nami Tnina. Ochal Eiv Menachai Mimena. We're talking about now an Of Tomei. And we'll soon see why we're talking specifically about an Of Tomei. But anyway, Rashi says so, so we'll take Rashi now. Is the Braisa's divide up into a Resha and a Seifa. The Reisha says that with regard to Avram and Achai of an Of Tomei, Eino Sofeg Es Harboim, he doesn't get Malkus. Now, there's no reason why an Of should be excluded from Avram and Achai, unless you go like Rabbi Meir, who limits Avram and Achai to a behema. But with the exception, only Reb Meir is the one who says such a thing. Everyone else, all the other Chachom Tanoim agree that Avram Nachai applies to an Oaf just as it applies to Behem and Achaya. So why then does the Mishnah say that, and this Mishnah you should know is in Masechta Taros in Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel, why does the Mishnah say that there's no Malkus for Avram and Achai of an Oaf? The answer is, we must be talking about what kind of an Oaf? Yeah. An Oaf Tomei. And if it's an Oaf Tomei, according to Chachamim, there's no Isser Avram and Achai in an Oaf Tomei. And therefore you don't get Malkus.
That's because there ain't Isser Chalal Isser
or what? Well, I wouldn't say it's because ain't Isser Chalal Isser. I would say right now, because what generates the Isser Avram and Achai is the lack of Shechita, and that only applies where and when Shechita would be meaningful, and that's only to a Behema Tahora. As far as Ein Isser Chalal Isser is concerned, I would assume right now, until we know otherwise, that this is what's called an Isser Chamur, because Of Tameh is Mutter to Ben Noach and Asur to Yisrael, but Avram and Achai adds an Isser to a Ben Noach, and that makes it an Isser Chamur, and therefore Isser Chalal Isser. But the reason why, nevertheless, the Chacham insists that there's no Isser Avram and Achai for Yisrael in an Of Tameh is because there couldn't be Shechita that would be Mater in Of Tameh, and therefore it's not Avram and Achai. Avram and Achai is the flip side of Shechita, the absence of Shechita. Zev, what were you going to say?
That's fine.
So again, what we're going to have to ask later on, that's going to be the very next piece of Gemara, is why don't you get Malkus here at least for what?
For
eating the oftame, yeah, so dalmiyach, so drop the Avram and Achai in the case of oftame, but there's no reason why you shouldn't get malchus arboim feeding the oftame, unless we're talking about pachas mi kashir. If it's pachas mi kashir, then you wonder, well, why was there a havavina that you be chayev for Avram and Achai? You tell me, well, it's not chayev b'toras Avram and Achai because it's an oftame, right? And we're talking about Yisrael now in the Risha. Fine. But had it been an Oph Tar, you would be Chai Favor and a Chai. So obviously you ate Kishir. So if you ate Kishir, in the case of an Oph Tame, drop Avram and a Chai for Yisrael, but why not get Malchus for Oph Tame? I mean, we're really in a bind here, unless we're going to assume that somehow you have a shear for Avram and a Chai, but you don't have a shear for Oph Tar, which is, that's going to be the trick of Rav Nachman, which is going to appear in the Sugya over and over and over again.
It's true that
just 1 second. I'm sorry. I just want to get,
yeah,
you know, always at the beginning of the shiur, I just got to get into it before you can.
It was a chamura, but is it really a chamura? Because the oaf of tameh is metameh b'beis ablia.
Oh, I don't know about tumah now. Let's leave out tumah. I don't think oaf tameh is metameh b'beis ablia, but be that as it may, we're talking about isa chamur, meaning as long as the iser can be chal in a new way,
okay,
then it's no longer an iser chalisa. It's kind of like if you imagine picking up a blanket, right? So if you could pick up this side, then you could shake up the whole blanket, right? So what do? The iser of Avram and Achai and of Tomei could be chal vis-a-vis Ben Noach, and there there's no problem of any iser chalisa because Ben Noach's allowed to eat an of Tomei, so it's only also b'toras Avram and Achai. Once the iser Avram and Achai is chal for Ben Noach, then we could expand it, you know, like I said, lift up the blanket and apply Avram and Achai even to Yisrael. So I don't think that we have a problem here of any iser chalisa. All right, that's the ratio. Then the Sefer tells me something which sounds totally obvious. The ain't shchitasa matarasa, that if you shecht an oftame, then it still remains asur and the shchita is meaningless. Well, why would I even dream that the shchita would be meaningful? So that's the question of Rav Shizbi. Bimai, well, what is this case of the seifa? What is this thrust of the seifa? The chiddush of the seifa ain't shchitasa matarasa. Ilema be Yisrael. You know, if anybody asks you where would shechita be more meaningful for Ben Noach than his for Yisrael, it's right here on this page. Ilei be Yisrael pshita, I have no doubt. Ein shechita mitarasa, you can't be mitar in avela. You can't be mitar in oftame. Shechita doesn't work in the case of an oftame. The Mishnah didn't have to tell me now that there is no consolation by shechting the oftame. Obviously the oftame does not become mutter by virtue of the shechita. And Rashi Dibra Maschil Mai, which again I don't want to get into right now, but Rashi points out, just to calm Alan down over here, that the shechita would be meaningless even in terms of Tumas Nevela, because a Nevela's Oftame is not Metame in any event. So the shechita would be meaningless as far as Tumantara is concerned. El Olav Bibnei Noach. Oh, here's the kunz. That maybe, perhaps, this shechita would be meaningful for Ben Noach. Now, if we go like the Chachamim, the way Rav understood the Chacham, what was the Chiddush of Rav? That when did the Chachamim say there's no Avram and Achai in a Behemah Tmeah? That's only as far as Yisrael is concerned. But as far as Ben Noach is concerned, there is Avram and Achai. So maybe the shechita would be meaningful to remove the Yisr Avram and Achai. And the chiddush, the gewaldige chiddush, sensational chiddush of the sefer of this mishnah, is that no, the iser Avram and Achai, as far as Bnei Noach are concerned, still remains even after shechita. Why, Rabosai?
Is it with a bird?
With anything, Lamaisa, it could be a bird, it could be an animal, it could be a chaya.
Still be alive.
Exactly, because in Ben Noach, as we discussed at great length on Tuesday, what's the machayev, what's the oser of Avram and Achai? It's not the absence of shechita, but it's the death of the animal. So once I shech the animal, it's dead, right? You know, so we had an art teacher when I was in high school, Mr. Getter. If he's alive, he's about 150. And we asked him once, we were schmoozing with him. We knew he was Jewish by birth, but so we asked him, well, what do you think of the way Jews do shechita, as opposed to the way the goyim kill an animal? So he says to us, well, in the long run, they're dead anyway, so who cares? But maybe the shechita kills the animal, and that itself would lift the Isur of Eivor Nachai for whom?
For Benoch.
Kamash v'lonig of Aldegechidishi in the safe of this Brisa, that no, the animal, as David said, is still alive. What's that called, Rabbi Osai? Pirkus, correct. Let's look at Rashi. Ela, Rashi says, the other Rashi, everybody should look in this Rashi. It's an amazing Rashi. Rashi is about 15 lines up from the bottom of the page. Ela, says Rashi, lebenoach ka'amar. The Sefer is addressing itself to a benoach. And the chiddush of the Sefer is, she'ein shchitoso matiroso lo ba'achila. That you would think that since there's an Iser Avram and Achai, let the shchita remove the Iser Avram and Achai. Correct? Because intuitively we would say that once the bird was shechted, then it's a dead bird. In the long run, they're dead anyway, as we say. Now, Rabosai, in this Havamina, that Shechita would remove the Isur Eivor and Achai, are we talking about Shechita in the classical sense? The entire first parak of Masechta Chulin is dedicated to Shechita. What is Shechita? How do you do Shechita in Tusimanim and all the dinim? No, we're talking about Shechita as a means to kill the animal. But it's unsuccessful. Says Rashi, why is the Shechit unsuccessful? Calls Manchu Mefarkes, because there's still a period of time in which the animal, although the bird in this case, was already Shechta, but it's still alive. From Shechit till Misa is a gap. Right? How do they say in England? Mind the gap. Right? And in that gap, he pulled off a limb, Nebuch, of this bird. I mean, the bird is already, you know, like, Have a little rachmanis. The bird is already slaughtered, and yet no, the bird is jumping around, and he pulls off a limb of the bird, and he eats that limb, and he violates Avram and Achai.
The goy,
only the goy, because again, if we're going back to the Sefer with regard to a Jew, then Eino Sofik Esar Boim. There is no Isur Avram and Achai because we're talking about an oaf. Tommy, but in the Sefer we're talking about a guy, and for a guy we have what? We have Avram and Achai in the case of an Ov Tommy. That's all we have. We don't have Ov Tommy. We have Avram and Achai. You would think Hava Mina Salkadaita Chamina, that after the Shechita the animal is showing Gepegert, it's already dead, and therefore you can eat what? You can eat the guy. The guy, John Paul Jones, can eat the bird. No, it's still jumping around. And if it's still jumping around, it's mefaches, it's still alive. And the oser of Avram and Achai for a guy is not the absence of shechita, but life or death. Is the animal considered mes or chai? And in this case, to our surprise, the animal is still considered chai. So the basic chiddush of the sefer of this brisa is, don't think that with shechita the animal is dead. No. With shechita, the animal is not yet dead if it's still mefarches. Again, if it's not mefarches, then ein chinami, it's dead, and there'll be no Avram and Achai. But the chiddush of this mission is that as long as it's mefarches, it's still alive.
When it says mimena, it says it's a non-kosher bird. But from everything we've said, that could equally apply to a non-kosher animal as well, right? So why are we dafka quoting talking about?
So that's what we wanted to say, that the chiddush here of a bird is that ein shchitasa mitarasa refers to a goy. If it was an animal,
yeah.
Let's say for example a cow.
No, I'm talking about.
Okay, a non-kosher animal. Let's say.
Correct.
Ah, so that I don't know.
Well, there's no consequence.
Well, what's the din of Tumas Nevelin and on kosher animal? Okay, I don't know. I have to learn Tumas Vitara for that. That's why this mission is in Masechta Tara. So, you know, write me an email, Michael, and I'll get back to you. That has to do with a very profound, complicated sugya called Tumas Nevela Bebe Sablia. And for that, you have to learn major parts of Taurus and Masechta Chulin, the parts called the Arva Rotev that everybody skips. I don't know what they do when they get to it in Daf Yomi. I have no clue.
On Tuesday, we were talking about this very subject.
Yeah,
and we were talking about a behemoth tamea, and we had exactly this scenario.
Right. But again. The there are laws of Tuma Vitara that apply very uniquely to an Of Tameh that connect to this Mishnah. That's not relevant to us. You know, this Mishnah that we're learning now overlaps with two different sugyas, with the sugya of Avram and Achai, what we call Kashrus laws, Machalos Asurus laws, and also with the laws of Tuma Vitara, because Shechita has a very unique role to play, not only as far as kashrus, but as far as Tuma Vitara. So, and that's where Oaf is singled out. So, you know, write me an email and I'll try, if I have time, which I don't know when I'll have time, because this Shabbos I'm supposed to speak three times, and next Shabbos I'm supposed to speak another three times, the day after that another three times, because of Shavuos, and the week after that I'm a scholar and resident in Bergenfield, supposed to speak five times. So, I, you know, if I have some time, I will jump into the laws of Tuma Vitara. Okay. But let's get back to Rashi, because this Rashi is mamish gevaldige Rashi. Says Rashi, Kidamrinon v'perik beis. The Gemara says back in Chulin, it's very easy to remember, on page log, the Ben Noach lav b'shchita talya milsa, and the rest of the sugya there ela b'misa talya milsa. So what we're seeing here in the Mishnah in Taurus is already taken up by the sugya, says Rashi, back here in Chulin on Daf Lamed Gimel. V'gabi tahora. Why are we dealing with, again, when, as far as the dimension of Avram and Achai, why are we dealing with an Of Tamei? Rashi says that's not coincidental. V'gabi tahora, had it been a kosher bird, later on the Gemara is going to describe different birds, whether they're kosher or not kosher. Damrinon, shchita machshir olei leben noach. Pilei plaim. You just look at the language of Rashi. Rashi says, shchita machshir olei. Now, in our language, we don't use the word machshir olei. Rashi's language, he did. But if we wanted to substitute another word for machshire, which is more exactly, the matir, Rashi used the word machshir, it's identical with the term matir. Shchita is a matir. In fact, there's a whole machlokas we've shown him what the nature of the bracha on shchita is, because generally speaking, we make a bracha on a mitzvah, not on a matir. Like, for example, Ataris Nidarim or Gerishin is a matir, but we don't make a bracha on a matir. We make a bracha on a mitzvah. Ataris Nidarim is not a mitzvah. So we don't make a bracha on it. So why do we make a bracha on shchita? Apparently shchita has two dimensions to it. It's a matir and it's also a mitzvah. I would doubt whether or not that mitzvah applies for Ben Noach. But Rashi says it is a machshir, which we would call a matir, even for Ben Noach. You've got to be nuts. You've got to be absolutely crazy and out of your mind to say that shchita is a matir for Ben Noach. But Rashi says it is. So you could call Rashi crazy, but you don't have to blame Berzon for that, because Rashi says black on white that the shchita is going to be matir the animal as far as the Iser of Avram and Achai is concerned for Ben Noach. Mamish proper shchita. Because what kind of animal are we talking about now, Rabosa? What kind of bird or animal or whatever? A kosher animal. So in the case of a kosher animal, there is a concept of shchita to be matir the animal for a Ben Noach. What Iser are we removing? You can't tell me the Iser of Nevela, right? Because Goy doesn't have an Iser Nevela. It's going to have to be, this is the only kashrus Iser that the Ben Noach is enjoying from, it's going to have to be Avram and Achai. So Rashi now has to explain to us, where is this coming from? How could shchita be matir the animal as far as Ben Noach is concerned by removing the Iser Avram and Achai? Migu de machshir olei li Yisrael. This migu should not be confused with migu in Kalatar Kula. Migu in Kalatar Kula usually means, you know, let's believe him to say that, that this is his bechar and he should inherit the double portion, because migu, if he was lying, he could have given him a gift of pishnayim. That's a different kind of migu, migu of nemanus. Here it's not a migu of nemanus. Here the migu is that when you take a matir from case X and you apply to case Y, that's called migu. Migu that it works. Since it works in case X, it's going to work in case Y. And what is that? Migu de machshir leli Yisrael. Again, in a kosher bird, the shechit of imatir, the bird for Yisrael. Again, removing what Yisr? We're talking about the Yisr Eivir Menachai. And therefore, that same matir to remove the Yisr Eivir Menachai vis-a-vis Yisrael, ipso facto becomes a matir to remove Eivir Menachai for Goy. Yep. Has Rashi know such a thing? The leka midi del Yisrael shari uliyavei kachavim asur. Because we have a principle of Masechta Sanhedrin in the sugya ben Noach, which is nivav nizayin nuches nites. Right, it's a long sugya ben Noach. So if you ever want to learn ben Noach, let's say for example, a guy meets you and he says, David, you know what? You're a Jew. Can you teach me what I'm supposed to be doing as a guy? It happens to me every day. No, I'm just joking. It never happened to me. But if let's say some guy would tap you on the shoulder, he's willing to pay you for it even. Then you have a shiloh if you're allowed to take money for it, fine. And he says, teach me the seven laws of Ben Noach. So what Masechta are you going to take out? Masechta Sanhedrin. Correct. And in that sugya Masechta Sanhedrin, anything that's mutal Yisrael is mutter for Ovi Kochavim. And therefore, since Shechita is matir the Yisra Eivir Menachai in the case of a Behemoth Tahora or an Oftar for Yisrael, ipso facto, it's matir for the Eivir Menachai for a Ben Noach. So as I gave you the mashal the other day, there's a store that says on the outside, Eivir Menachai. You know, this is the Eivir Menachai store. And it's got a tuda from the badatz. So the guy comes into the store and he says, "I can't leave Eivir Menachai." So the Jew says, "But it has a hetzer from the badatz." He says, "No, I don't rely on the badatz." So what is the badatz going to do for me? So the Jew, the proprietor, tells the guy, "The badatz is telling you that it was shechted properly." So the guy says, "What do I care about shechita?" "Oh no, you care about shechita because I'm selling you an oftar." And Oftar, if it was shechted properly, removes the Iser of Eivir Menachai even for a guy. So now, based on the Tuda, the guy is going to eat this piece of chicken or this, whatever it is, this cow. Oh, but if the Jew says to him, this is from a pig, right? So this guy's a Spaniard, right? And we the Spaniards love eating, you know, ham. It's all over the place. Yeah. That I can't eat. Why? Because you plucked it after Shechita, but before the Pirkus terminated. So therefore, the Shechita itself, with all due respect to your Satmar Shechita, is not going to help me. Because that's not going to be Matir the Yisr Eivir Menachai. So if the Yisrael has a good Tudat Hechsher for Eivir Menachai, it's got to testify two things. Number one, that the Eivir Menachai was taken from a Behema Tahora after Shechita, or if it's a Behema Tmeya, it was taken after Pirkus ended. Then we have two witnesses here who saw the animal plop, and then we took out the thing. Says Rashi, Shamina Minei, Dafilu Rabbanon. What does Rav Shizbi want to derive from this Mishnah in Taras? Even the Rabbanon, who are matir, or shall we say, alleviate the Isser of Eivir Menachai with regard to an oaf Tameh, as far as Yisrael is concerned, Modu, they admit to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, that Ben Noach, Muzar Alatuma, the Eivir Menachai. And again, as we pointed out here, the word tuma is a mistake. It should say alatmeo. Just take out one vote. So in a behemah tmeo, in this case an oftame, there is an iser of Eivir Menachai for a guy, and that iser will only be removed after misa, which is when pirkus terminates. This is the thesis of Rav Shizbi, and I would give him a tzalash for this. You know, he really deserves a medal. This is a beautiful analysis of this Mishnah in Taris. We see that Ben Noach is enjoined from eating Eivim and Achai of a behemoth Tmeya, and that's the Chiddush of the Sefer, that Ein Shchitasa Mit Harasa, it only is the Iser Eivim and Achai is only lifted after the animal dies, and Shchita is not sufficient, because as we said before, it's an oath Tomei. Rav Mani Bar Patish also went through this whole logical regiment here by analyzing this Mishnah. Rami Reisha Asefa, he found a confusion between the Reisha and the Seifa, because in the Reisha we said that there's no punishment for Avram and Achai, and yet in the Seifa, when it says that Ein Shchitasa Mit Harasa, the implication is that it is a violation of Avram and Achai. How can you open up by saying there's no violation of Avram and Achai, and then conclude by postulating that there is a violation of Avram and Achai? Umeshani and Rav Mani answered. He took a hammer and he smashed the Mishnah into two parts. That's because his father was called Patish. And he answered, Reisha be Yisrael, v'seifa ben Noach. I was often confused. You know, Rabbi Yudah Nasi, who authored the Mishnayos, was an excellent, he's one of the literary giants of Hebrew literature, of all of history. So I don't know why he had to write it in such a confusing way. He could have given me a hint that the Reisha was Yisrael, and the Sefer was ben Noach. Okay, he gave us a chance to be, how should I say, to get schar for Talmud Torah by racking our brains and trying to figure this all out.
It's also problematic with the mitaharata.
Mitaharata is always the language of Rebbe in the Mishnayos for a matir of basar. When you have a matir and you want to remove an iser in the basar, in this case, save him in a chai for ben Noach, the word is mitaharasa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Omar Rav, Avram and Achai tzorich kizayis, meaning that just like all machalos asuris require the minimum shear to violate the iser and to be chayv malchus is a kizayis, that same halacha applies to Avram and Achai. Why would I think otherwise? So if you look in Rashi, which is the third of the wide lines on the bottom of your page, Rashi tells us the following. Afal gav detrei kroi ksiv. This is a sugya we're going to get to on Kuf Beis Amid Beis, the sugya of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. There are two different psukim. Question is, which are the two different psukim? Both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree with regard to Avram and Achai. That's not an issue, and that's the possible sochal anefesh ma'basar. There's machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. What's the second pasuk, which serves as the source for basar minachai? And there are two separate lavim. One is called Aver minachai, where you eat an entire aver, and the other is called basar minachai, where you eat the flesh of a living creature, but you don't eat the entire limb. Now, what's the obvious question? If there's already an Iser of what? Of Basar Min Achai, right? Basar Min Achai. So, what are you adding to me by telling me he took an entire limb? The limb, forget about the limb as a limb. The limb is Basar. So, he should be Chayav B'Toras, B'Toras Basar.
Maybe Chashivud.
Yeah, maybe Chashivud. Maybe Lavro B'Shnei Lavim, we have such a thing. But Rashi says no. Lo tema in this havamina, we would say the following: this rabbi aver. What's the chiddush of aver menachai? The afal gav the ein bo shiur, meaning it's less than what? Less than a kizayis. Elavadi yesh bo shiur beinon the ein achila pachas mikizayis. So Rashi here is an intention. He has a havamin, he has a maskana. The havamin of Rav would have been that the chiddush of Avram and Achai, as opposed to Basar and Achai, is that you chayv for even less than a kizayis. But there's a problem, says Rav, because we have a rule that ein achila pachas mikizayis. Whenever the Torah talks about achila, both in Isurim and in mitzvahs, mitzvah, what mitzvah do I have in mind? What do you say? Maror, okay, maror. But even before matzah, right? In order to fulfill the mitzvah of rice, it's one tayag of matzah. I don't care about the bracha, but how much matzah do you have to eat? You have to eat a kezias. Less than a kezias just won't do it. Question about a chola, what do you do? He can't chew it, he can't this and that, his problems, but he's got to eat a kezias. If he eats a chatzi zayas, I don't know if that's worth anything. Maybe. Maybe it's a chatzi shir mitzvah, that's a big deal in Mishnah Melech and other. But be that as it may, Rav simply flexes the universal requirement or definition of achila in kolatar kula, and it applies here in Avram and Achai as well, and that is that you require a kezias. Again, now you're going to come back to square one. You're going to have to ask yourself, well, if Avram and Achai requires a kezias, so forget about Avram and Achai. You're chai for that kezias b'toras basar min Achai. Okay, so that's going to be the issue, as I always call it, Rav Nachman's breakthrough here about gida v'atzamos. But before we get to Rav Nachman, I have a question for you. How does Rav know that the principle of Ein Achila Pachus Mikazayis applies to Avram and Achai? I would like to argue with Rav, so to speak. And I would contend that Avram and Achai is the exception to the rule. The reason why you're chayev is because you ate an Aver. And if you ate an Aver, a limb, what difference does it make what the size of the limb is? When the Torah is saying that you're chayev for chewing something and swallowing it, so that's called achila machayeves, then you need a kezias. But when you're talking about a different machayev, namely, you're talking about taking a limb of an animal, and I'll tell you the truth, it could be that I have a proof, or at least a habamin of a proof, that it's not achila in the case of a limb of an animal. Because when was the last time you saw someone swallow a limb of an animal? And the whole sugya psachim establishes that achila shelo kederach achilaso is not chayiv. For example, Gemara says if you eat raw chalev, that's not the way people eat chalev, you're not chayiv. Or let's say you take chalev and you heat it up and it's burning hot, it'll burn your throat, you're not chayiv. This is the whole sugya of shalom kedarko. So I don't know. I wasn't out in the Far East because I was told that there they eat everything. I don't know. But as far as I know, the last time I saw anybody eat a live, I never saw anyone eat a live limb. And it's a mud nazak. It's very strange. It's shalom kederach achilos. But the answer is that the principle of shalom kederach achilos applies when the mechayev is what? Achila. But in the case of Avram and Achai, the mechayev is the Aver, and therefore I don't care whether you eat it this way, you eat it that way. I don't care if you're a lunatic for eating an Avram and Achai. It doesn't matter. You ate an Avram and Achai. You're chayev.
The Aver is smaller than the mechayev?
Yeah. Oh, it could be larger than a kezias, could be smaller than a kezias. You know, it could have a small aver, let's say of an oaf, what?
The leg of a bird.
Maybe the leg of a bird, I don't know. If it's a small bird, we'll see later. It might be less than a kezias.
But don't you consider the fact that it's a barrier?
Also, the fact that it's a barrier itself should be enough. Right, a limb is a barrier. What's a barrier? A barrier is something that as soon as you cut it up, it loses its name. So here too, it's called an aver as long as it's whole. Hole with a W. But as soon as you cut it into pieces, it's no longer an Aver. Istach Mimele qualifies as a birya. In the case of a birya, the Gemara says in Makis that if you swallow a chasham, you swallow a bug, a full bug. Right? And it's tiny, it's less than a kezias. The Gemara says Yechayev. And if it's a hornet, Yechayev six sets of malchus for a hornet. Because it's a oaf tame, and it's a sheretz tame, and it's a sheretz amayim, and sheretz oaf. It's terrible. Don't eat hornets. Stay away from hornets. I don't know when the last time you ate a hornet was, but just in case, you know, you gotta tell it like it is. So here too in Avram and Achai, I would have applied the same logic, and I would have said that Yechayev, even for a limb, a full limb, that's less than a kezias. So how does Rav know that everything that we said is incorrect? No, you're not Chayev for Avram and Achai unless you eat a kezias. Does anybody know? You didn't read the next line in the Gemara. I'm a little embarrassed here. I thought you. Okay, my timer. So Rav himself is perplexed about his own statement. How do I know such a thing? So he says, Achila ksivbe. The Torah went out of its way to use the language of Achila, and it says, Lo sochal anefesh im abosar, to teach me that you need Achila. And that word Achila is the identical word of Achila in Kol Tarkula, which means, Ein Achila pachos mikizaitis. Which, by the way, has an impact even on a shvua or a neder. Let's say I take a shvua, Shalo ochal kikar zeh. I won't eat this piece of bread. If the bread is less than a kezayis, I'm not chayav for violating that shvua. Why? Because I use the language of achila. That's machlokas tanoim, but according to some tanoim. So it comes out like this, Rabosai. Does Rav reject the whole discussion that we had before? Is Rav's havamina completely thrown overboard, and there's no vestige of that havamina left? The Torah says, "Lo sochlu anefesh ma'basar, ein achila pachas mikizayis ke'endik." There's no eiver menachai less than a kizayis. All as far as about Birya, all those nice castles in the sky that we created is all just castles in the sky, castles in the sand. So let's learn the next Gemara, and this is the famous sugya of Nachman, and I think we have something to say. Rav does not reject all those havamis. There are going to be two dimensions to Eiver Menachai. Masiv, Rav Amram goes back to our Mishnah. Notice that in the Reish of the Mishnah, we're talking about Eiver Menachai. For who? Rav Osai.
For
Yisrael, correct? And what does the Reish of the Mishnah say? Eino Sofe Garboim, he doesn't get Malkus. Masiv Rav Amram Ochal Eivrim Nachai Mimena. Eino Sofikis Arboim. I don't get it. You're telling me that he doesn't get Malkus. Now, why doesn't he get Malkus? What happened to the Yisr Eivrim Nachai over here? Where did it disappear? Knock knock, anybody home? Because it's an oaf Tameh. We're talking about Yisrael. But had it not been an oaf tar, apparently if it would have been an oaf tar, he would have been chai for what? Favor menachai. No, according to Rav, that means how much did he eat from this oaf? He had to have eaten the kezayis. So what does it mean? Right? The isal kedaitach be'inon kezayis. If Rav, you're correct, then in order to violate the isar favor menachai, you only chai feed a kezayis. So now you're telling me in this ratio that the reason why he doesn't get Malkus in the case of Eivrim Menachai v'Nof Tomei is because what? Is because there's no Eivrim Menachai for Yisrael in an Of Tomei. All other ingredients or variables have been checked off. There's only one problem, it's an Of Tomei. So therefore what? He ate an Eivrim Menachai v'Nof Tomei. How much did he eat? He ate a kezayis, correct? If he didn't eat a kezayis, then forget about Of Tomei. He'd be potter even in Of Tar. The answer is, it's an Of Tomei, and therefore even though he ate a kezayis, and Rav says now he should be chai for Eivrim Menachai, he's not chai for Eivrim Menachai because it's an Of Tomei. So we know he ate a kezayis. No, if he ate a kezayis, how can you tell me he doesn't get Malkus? Typically, okay, even if he doesn't get Malkus for Eivrim Menachai, tikochal kezayis, but he ate a kezayis of Of Tomei, and the Torah says, lo yeochel, you're not allowed to eat an Of Tomei. See, without Rav, we could have said beautifully. We're talking about a case where he ate an entire limb of an oaf, a live oaf. It was a small limb, so it was less than a kezayis. He doesn't get Malkus. What? Mimanashah. But Torah of Tomei, he doesn't get Malkus because the Torah says lo yachlu, and this is less than a kezayis. I let him be chayv Torah. What? But Torah says he's not going to be chayv according to. According to Rav, because of what? Because he didn't need a kezayis. But now, according to Rav, you're saying that the shear of kezayis is a prerequisite for both Eivrim Menachai and for what? And for Of Tomei, as it is by Of Tomei. And therefore, How could you be potter from malchus? You've got to be chayiv malchus. In other words, if it was less than a kazayis, you'd be potter for even a chayiv, even if it would have been an ov tar. The fact that you are technically exempt from the violation of Avram and Achai because you ate what, an oaf? Tameh, good. But obviously all the other ingredients and the variables are checked off. You must have eaten a shear of a kezayis, because Rav says that the shear for the violation of Avram and Achai is what? Is a kezayis. No. So now, why aren't you chayiv b'toras oaf tameh? How can you say, you know, sofek es arboim? If not for Rav, we could have said that what's the size of this aver that he's eating? It's less than a kezayis. And if not for Rav, I would have said that in the case of Avram and Achai, as long as he ate the entire aver, I don't care one way or the other whether it was a small aver or a large aver, whether it was more than a kezayis or less than a kezayis, you're chayiv. And now the Mishnah tells me technically you're potter. Why? Because it's an oftameh. You cannot be chayiv for achilas oftameh because it's less than a kezayis. But according to Rav, even as far as what? As Avram and Achai is concerned, we require a kezayis. And you tell me now he's potter because it was an oftameh, mashma that he certainly ate a kezayis, and had it been an oftar, he would have been chayiv Avram and Achai. No, if you're talking about a case where he ate a kezayis, it wasn't a small little dinky limb, it was a large fat limb, like the yerech, you know, that we spoke about in our Mishnah, then he should be chayiv malchus al kolponim for oftameh. And here we get the breakthrough of Rav Nachman. And here's what I want to say, a little brisker Torah here, I think. You'll judge whether I'm right or wrong, but this is what I want to say. Kida Amar Rav Nachman, what's the case that we're dealing with? B'mashu basar v'gidin v'atzamos. Now, Rav Nachman made this statement attached to and interpreting a brisa that we're going to get to later on Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis. Hachanami, we're going to take Rav Nachman from that sugya, that brisa, and we're going to interpret it in regard to the Mishnah here in Taris. B'mashu basar gidin ve'atzamos.
Together.
Oh, excellent. So what we have here is the following mitzvahs. We have a small bird that has a very limited amount of basar, but it has gidin vatsamos. B'toras achilas basar, you're only chayiv for eating the basar. And here, how much basar did he eat? Less than a kezayis. But b'toras aver, the aver that the Torah prohibited you from eating, if it's minachai, includes not only the basar, but it includes the gidin vatsamos. And therefore, you should have been chayiv here in this case, because the sum total of basar plus gidin plus atzamos equals a kezayis. Says Rav Nachman, the reason why your potter ain't a sofek es arboim is because mimanafshach. Mimanafshach means the following: even though you ate a kezayis of basar plus gidin batzamos, the whole kit and caboodle together makes up a kezayis, and that would have been enough to generate the iser and the chiyuv for Avram and Achai. But since it's an oaf tamei, there's no iser Avram and Achai. No, but let it be chai b'toras basar. The answer is the basar element of these three variables is less than a kezayis. So mimanafshach he's potter. He's potter b'toras Avram and Achai for technicality, because we're dealing with an oaf tamei. Had it been an oaf tar, he would have been einach inami chayev for Avram and Achai. He's potter in this case for violating the iser of lo ye achlu in basar of tamei, because basar of tamei requires lo ye achlu at least a minimum of kezayis. And what do we mean by kezayis as far as of tamei is concerned? We're talking about a basar here, since he only can comprise a kezayis by adding to the basar gidin vatsamos. Gidin vatsamos are not considered basar. And when the Torah prohibits basar, the Torah means basar without the gidin vatsamos. Again, this is based on a sugi that we once learned about ain begidin v'no sein tam. There's no tam basar in the gidin according to that approach. Atsamos are not considered basar for sure, according to everybody. You may remember the sugi of Zroa B'Shela, where we spoke about the shear of Mea, and it all depends whether you calculate the atsamos and the gidin and the whole discussion that we had there. Here, in terms of Eber Menachai, says Rav Nachman, we can add to the equation Gidin Vatsamos in order to generate a Kizayis. And that's exactly what happened here in this Mishnah. But it was an Oph Tameh, and for technical reasons, therefore, he didn't violate the Iser of Eber Menachai. He's not chayv on anything. He's not chayv. He's not chayv with Torah Sefer Menachai because it's an Oph Tameh. He's not chayv with Torah Pasa Oph Tameh because he didn't need a Kazayas. Why would it have been chayv in this particular scenario for Eber Menachai had it been an Oph Tar? The answer is because he ate a Kazayas. What do you mean he ate a Kazayas? There's no Kizayis here. The answer is there's no Kizayis in the Basar, but there is Kizayis in the Sachakol of Basar, Gidin, and Atzamos. Now, Rabosai, what does this mean? What?
Can you explain why we can understand? What's differentiating between Of Tamen and Of Tahor here?
Of Tameh we hold there's no Eivim and Achai for Yisrael. That's the Chachomim Shita. I mean, you missed that. That was
Of Tameh.
Of Tameh, I meant to say. Did I say Of Tahor? I meant to say Of Tameh. Of Tameh, there's no Eivim and Achai. So even though he ate Basar, Gidin, and Atzamos to the tune of a Kazayas, nevertheless, he's not going to be Chai for Eivim and Achai because it happens to be an Of Tameh. Had it been an Of Tahor, he'd be Chai. He only ate basar and chatzis eyes. The answer is we don't care. Neivim and achai, we're going to add, says Rav Nachman, the Gidin and Tzomos, to calculate the chatzis. Now, if it's an Of Tameh, the Marashach, he's potter. He's potter, b'torah, Neivim and achai, even though there's a chatzis when you add the Gidin and Tzomos, because it's an Of Tameh. And there's no Yisrael, Neivim and achai, and Of Tameh going to Chacham. He's potter from basar Of Tameh, because basar Of Tameh needs a chatzis of basar. And they're famous sofik yisavah. It's a beautiful Torah. This Rav Nachman is, I don't know how to say this, Mosik Midvash. If Rav Nachman was here, I would give him a kiss. That's all. I posh it.
If it had been Of Tahor, he would have been fine.
Yes.
Had it been, yeah, it would be Chai favorite of Chai. Why? Because Gidin Vatsamos add to the bus and you calculate it. Right. So I want to ask the following question, just to understand the deeper, you know, the mechanics here of Rav Nachman and how this whole thing works. The Iser Eivim and Achai, according to Rav Nachman, stands in sharp contrast to the Iser of Basar of Tameh. Why? Because obviously the Iser is Eivir and it's not an Iser Basar. If you don't accept that premise, Rav Nachman makes absolutely no sense. Meaning, why is Rav Nachman willing to integrate the Gidin and Atzamos to make up the Kizayis in the case of Eivim and Achai? He's not willing to do so in the case of Of Tameh. And the answer is because Of Tameh is an Iser Basar. Eivim and Achai is an Iser Eivir. The Eivir includes Gidin and Atzamos. Basar is only Basar. So far, so good. Oh. Nu, if you're telling me, Rav Nachman, that the Iser is an Iser Eiver and it's not an Iser Basar, then why do I need a Kizayis at all? In other words, Rav threw out his Havamina. The Havamina was that the Iser is eating an Eiver, and you would have thought that's even Pachos from a Kizayis. Rav says, no, I got to throw that out, you need a Kizayis. Now, if you need a Kizayis, it means that you're eating a Kizayis of Basar. Rav Nachman comes up with what I think is A and not A. At the same time, he's got an inner conflict, an inner contradiction in what he's saying. Because, Mimar Afshach, there are two ways of defining Eivir Men Achai. If you define Eivir Men Achai as Achilas Basar, then you cannot calculate and include the Gidin Vatsamos. If you're going to redefine Eivir Men Achai, it's not an Iser of Achilas Basar, it's an Iser of Achilas Eivir, then the whole concept of Kizayis makes no sense. I understand that if your minimum shear is a Kizayis, then you could add the Gidin Vatsamos. That's beautiful. And as I said before, if Rav Nachman was here, we'd embrace him for saying that. But my problem is, why do you need a Kizayis? Rav Nachman says, you need a Kizayis, Rav is right, but I can add the Gidin Vatsamos in order to achieve Kizayis. Why? Why is that so? I mean, what are you eating here? You're chewing on a bone, you know, with all due respect. The answer is, you're chai for what, Sammy?
The Eivir.
for Aver. New, you're engendering a whole new concept here of Achilles Aver. So why do you need a Kazayis at all? Let's go back to Rav's.
Aver, no matter the size of Aver.
Correct. If the Torah says you have fever in Aver, who cares what the size of the Aver is? It's the Rabosai. Beautiful. Rav Nachman is saying a brisket tzvei divim. I have no doubt in my mind. He was 1,500 years before Rav Chaim, but he broke new ground, Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is saying that as far as the cheftza that you chayev for, it's aver, it's not bosom. But as far as the maisa gavra is concerned, the halacha requires an achila. If you would be chayev for the cheftza and there was no iser gavra of achila, a pu'ulas of maisa achila, then ain't a chinami. The smallest aver, insofar as it's an aver, would be enough to generate a chiv malchus for eating it. But there's another halach, another din. You're correct. It's an aver. But the Torah adds another prerequisite, another requirement. You only violate this avera when what? When you did an achil. And we have a universal rule, ein achil apachos mikizayis. So again, from the perspective of the Macholas Asuras itself, I don't really need a kezayis because it's a full aver. I don't care how small it is. It's a full aver. It's not worse than the hornet of Machus. But there's another precondition. There are two conditions. A plus B. A is that you eat an aver, and B, you have to implement a maisa achila. And there's no such thing as a maisa achila less than a kezayis. Therefore, says Rav Nachman, when we calculate these two dinim and we combine them, and we churn it out, you know, what does the machine, you know, cough up for us? The following. Then on the one hand, I can add Gidin Vatsos, insofar as creating that Cheftza Disura. Because the Cheftza Disura is called what? Aver. Aver is comprised of three elements. Basar, Gidin, and Atsomos. All three are included under Aver. And for that, Yechayv. But wait a minute. If it's a small aver, I have a technical reason why you're not chayv. Because the Torah says, and that's what Rav was saying before, my taima, achila ksivibe. The Torah says, achila, lo socha nefesh im abasar. If the Torah had skipped that one word, lo socha, I would have come to the conclusion that even without a kezayis, you'd be chayv. Why? Because you ate a full aver. What difference does it make how small or how large it is? But name, the Torah says, achila. Achila ksivbe. What's achila? Achila requires a kezayis.
No matter what it is.
No matter what it is. You ate an aver? Fuck. But if it's a small aver, less than a kezayis, that's not called an achila. So when we define the pula sagavra, which is the precondition for the avera, the pula sagavra is a maisach. So that's what I think.
So if there's a kezai, including the gidin and the atzamot, less basah, he would be chayav on aver menachai.
Well, I didn't understand the case. There's no basar at all. It's just gidin and atzamot. I don't know if there's such thing as an aver without basar.
There is basar and there is gidin,
right.
But together that's an aver.
Right.
Then he on an off tahor, it would be chayav on aver menachai.
Right.
Even though there wasn't a kezai of a basar.
Correct. But, says Rav Nachman, only on one condition, that together with, I call it A plus B plus C, together with the Gidin and Atzamos, the Sach HaKol is a Kezayis. Why? What if it's a small aver? Less than Kezayis? The answer is Achila Ksivri. The Torah is Megala, Gevalda Gechidish. That it's not enough that you ate an aver. There's another condition here that comes in, you know, from left field, you know, that's center stage. And that is that did you do implement a Maisa Achila? And the Torah has its own standards for what constitutes a Maisa Achila. Like we said in Matzah, he eats half his ice of Matzah. All right, we'll give him some brownie points. Chatzi Shir, you know. But the Torah says Achila requires an Achila of Matzah. A man took a shvu, I won't eat. Achila requires a kezayis. The Torah says, don't eat Avram Achai. Achila requires a kezayis. And it's an unbelievable chiddush, because if not for that word achila, then you'd be chai for less than a kezayis. Why would this be an exception to our universal rule of ein achila pachos mikezayis had the Torah left out that word? Because I would have said you ate an Aver. If you ate an Aver, that itself gives you the chashivas of an achila. That's called a violation of Aver and Achai. I don't care how small the Aver is, but the Torah added the word achila. And that was a revelation, shedding a new light here, that there's another precondition in the Machayim of Aver and Achai. It's not enough to have an Aver. You need an achila. An achila means a kezayis.
Like, but not necessarily a bosel.
Not necessarily a bosel. Because as long as there's an Aver, you're chayv. You need Aver and you need Achil. Aver doesn't mean Basar, it means Gidnat Solas. That was the breakthrough of Rav Nachman. What we're adding here is we're adding Rav Nachman and Rav as two halves of a whole. Rav is telling you, you know what, there's a precondition that you have to do a Mais Achila. Therefore you need what? Kezayis. And on the other side of the fence, we have Rav Nachman who's saying, you know what? You got to eat an Aver. You don't have to eat Basar. Says Rav Nachman, if you don't have to eat Basar, you just have to eat the Aver, then it's very possible that in order to fulfill Rav's condition of a Kezayis, the Chefta HaNesar of Aver doesn't have to be a Kezayis of Basar. It could be a Kezayis of Basar plus Gidim Atzomos. And when I add the three together, A plus B plus C, I have a Kezayis.
Didn't you say that Achila has to be something that you would normally eat? They talk about hot boiling hot chayla, it's not achila, even if it's a kezayis. Well, surely sinews and bones, you don't eat.
Right.
And sinews and bones. So why is that included?
I don't know. That's going to be the next sugi. That's going to be the very next sugi that we have. Where's the kedarka over here? You know, that's another condition. You tell me achila ksivbe, and if you're requiring kezayis, less than kezayis won't do. What about kedarka? It's not kedarka.
Well, maybe it's
and that's the sugi called achshavei, which we're going to get to in Mirtz Shem and Omid Beis. I don't think we'll get to it today. I wish we would, because it's a beautiful sugya. Achshavei means, it's a whole issue about taking medicine. And if the medicine is made of gelatin, whatever it might be, you know, gel pills, and what are they called? Those things that's, you know, that they surround the pill. What is it called? Gel, whatever it's called. What do you say? Capsules, gel capsules, whatever they're called. So the issue of, you know, if it comes from bones of a non-kosher animal, blah, 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 is achshavei. And that's the sugi that we're going to
mean?
Achshavei means that although you wouldn't normally eat it, but you decided you want to eat it. If it's something that's totally, totally ridiculous, then probably there would be no achshavei. Or if, for example,
it's like medicine, you don't make a bracha with medicine.
So it's again, it's all dependent on this sugi that we're gonna go. Although the sugi doesn't explicitly address the question of brachos, right. But I would say that you only make a bracha on an achila kidarka, and this is not kidarka. Who would eat this kind of stuff? I mean, it's all chemicals or whatever it is. The answer is you decided you want to eat it. Now, if you decide you want to eat something that's absolutely crazy, that's going to burn your throat, right? That's, you know, detrimental to your health. There's no achshav. If you decide to eat raw chalev and you're going to get a tummy ache from it, you'll probably end up regurgitating it. That's not achshavei. But if you eat it as a medicine and it is healthy for the body, that's a real serious problem of achshavei.
So there's no place where kezayis is required where it does not say ksiva.
I'm trying to think of what case would... There is a case that fits that description. Just 1 second, if I can only remember... In the back of my mind here, you know. I know it's in Psachim Chafei, you know, in the sugya of Achiz Ken Avo. What's the case over there? Basar B'chol. It's Basar B'chol, it does, it says Lo Savash Al Gedi B'chalev. It doesn't say Achim. So the question is, if I eat basar b'chalav less than a kezayis, or if I eat basar b'chalav shelo kedarko, which doesn't constitute an achila, would I be chayv? That's going to be a fascinating subject, because the Torah says lo savashe, and it doesn't say it doesn't.
It's also us about it, so it doesn't matter.
So that Isur HaNah itself is derived from a superfluous pasuk, because the Torah repeats Lo Savashel. Why do we need that? After all, Rabbi Avo, back in Psachim Chafei, says that anytime the Torah prohibits Achila, automatically HaNah is included, with the exception of the Vela, because the Torah went out of its way in the Vela to say, like, Gera Shev Shrefa Tidnena, it's Machlenachri, fine, fine, fine. Says the Gemara, But in the case of Basar B'Chalav, I would not apply the universal principle of Yevo, that Echad Isra Achila, Echad Isra Hanoah B'Mashma, because the Torah doesn't use a Lashon of Achila. And therefore I would assume that it's only Achila, not Hanoah. For that, the Torah had to repeat it, so the three times. One is Fisa Bishal, the second is Fisa Achila, and the third is Fisa Hanoah. Once it's an Isra Achila, automatically that should engender an Isra Hanoah, according to Rabbi Avol's understanding. The answer is because you never find a Lashon Achila in the Torah. What would be if I heated up Basar B'Chalav in such a way that it's going to burn my throat? Would I be Chayav for Basar B'Chalav? Possibly. Why? Because the Torah doesn't use the language of Achil. And therefore could even be that a Shaloka Darko might be Chayav in Basar B'Chalav. So that's an example, Sammy. I think there's one other example, but I don't have it now at my fingertips.
You said earlier,
let's just open the door and see if because I don't know what time it is.
Quarter
past?
Yeah.
Alright, so Rabosai, we'll stop here. It's a fascinating sugya. When I started Eivor Rechai, I was shuddering. I told my wife in the car, we're learning Eivor Rechai. She goes, ugh, like this. How can you talk about Eivor Rechai? It's a live animal.
We're not eating it.
We're just learning it. We're consuming it in a different sort of way.
You said you don't make a bracha on a matir. Kedushin is a matir.
Kedushin is also a mitzvah. Why? Because the Kiyikak is a mitzvah. And the Kiyikak is not just a matir, it's also a mitzvah.
What is the mitzvah?
The Gerushin is not a mitzvah. So the Rashba says the Gerushin is a mitzvah for matzah ba'eres adova. But he says you don't make a bracha on matzah ba'eres adova. It's really, you should make a bracha, but he says the same thing about tztaka, you should really make a bracha on tztaka. But you know, the fact that the army needs its stocker, we can't say a brach.
Okay.
The other thing. Now, Kiddushin is counted in the Tayyad.
Yeah.
The big machlokes is whether or not we should include Kiddushin and Piri Verivya as two separate mitzvahs. That's an issue. But certainly Kiddushin is an issue.
The other thing is, it would be never be possible to say that Shkita.
Actually, what I just told you. It's correct what I told you, but it's not the answer to your question, because even a matir is counting the Taryag. So the fact that we count Kiddushin and Taryag is not a proof to what I want to say. Hafaris Nidorin and Hataris Nidorin is also counted in Taryag. It's very interesting that the concept of Taryag means that if you're in such a situation and you want to achieve your goal, you want to eat the meat, so you can only do that if you shech the animal, that's also included in Taryag.
The other thing is by Shechita, we could never have such a thing where we say that Shechita is a matir, but at the same time, it's not considered death until it actually dies. Because if you said that, then any time, as soon as there was Shechita, if it's not considered